Okay, y'all, grab your good book. Let's open to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. If you're using the Church Bible, you'll want to turn to page 848. The letter to the Hebrews, we're not sure who the author was, but it's definitely Scripture, written by an apostle or an associate of an apostle. Hebrews chapter 4. A deep, theologically profound letter. Chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Let's read together. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's God's word for us this morning. Let's prepare our hearts to open it fully. Lord, we do thank you for such a great high priest who's gone through the heavens. Whoever lives and to whom we can come at any moment. Lord, as we suffer through our various trials, adversities, and hardships, attune our heart to our great high priest above, and may we lean on him fully and follow him faithfully, even through the longest and deepest and darkest valleys, knowing that we are secure in your mercy and that we find your grace to help us in time of need. To that end, Lord, we pray that you would bless your word to our hearts and to our lives this morning. Amen. We all go through trials, don't we? It's a broken, fallen world. And that means that we all experience hardship and adversity from time to time. Maybe your children are straying from the Lord, and you don't know how to bring them back. Perhaps there's always too much month at the end of the money, even in February. Or maybe there's confusion and tension in your marriage. And what was once a warm romance has become a cold silence. It could be that you've received a diagnosis of cancer or heart disease. Maybe you're sandwiched between caring for your children and your aging parents. Maybe your work demands conflict with your Christian values. Maybe you're a student who dreads going back to school in the fall because the other kids make fun of you or your peers pressure you to do things that you know are wrong. Maybe you've lost a loved one and the grief is deeper and longer than you thought it would be. Everybody encounters hardships. So the question before us this morning is, how can we persevere in the trials? How can we endure the adversities without falling apart? How can we deflate the despair of feeling so overwhelmed that we just want to give up? The recipients of the Bible's letter to the Hebrews were going through a trial. They were Hebrew Christians, Jews who had come to believe in Jesus as Messiah, and they were being persecuted for their faith. And so persecution was their trial. And in the fiery trial of persecution, they were tempted to forsake Christ, to turn their backs on him, to return back to Judaism. So, Judaism being a more respected religion in the Roman Empire, they would not be persecuted any longer. The letter to the Hebrews was written all the way from chapter 1 to chapter 13 to encourage them to remain faithful to Christ. When we go through adversity, will we remain faithful to Christ? Or will we give up on him and go our own way? There's always that fork in the road when we have a trial. As our great high priest, Christ himself enables us to persevere in faithfulness to him. Hebrews presents the Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest. Now, in the Old Testament, a priest represented the people to God. On the annual Day of Atonement, the high priest, there was only one high priest at a time, on the annual Day of Atonement, the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies, the innermost room of the tabernacle and later the temple. He entered in to present the blood of sacrificed animal as atonement for the sins of the people. And he did that once a year, every single year. Jesus is our great high priest, greater than any earthly high priest. He entered a superior Holy of Holies, the heavenly throne room of the Father. He presented a superior sacrifice, his own blood, not the blood of animals, but his own blood, to atone for our sins. A sacrifice that was so sufficient, it's one sacrifice for all time. So, as we go through trials, let's remain faithful to Jesus, our great high priest. Let's not give up on him. Let's not go our own way. Let's not contrive our own solutions. For he is our great high priest who enters the heavenly Holy of Holies, the presence of God the Father, to intercede on our behalf. So then, how can we persevere in our trials? Well, since Jesus is our great high priest, let's persevere in trials by following two imperatives. There are two imperatives, two let us imperatives in Hebrews 14, verses 14 through 16 of chapter 4. The first imperative is this: let us keep the faith. Verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has ascended into heaven to be our priest. Not only our priest, but our high priest. Not only our high priest, but our great high priest. Now, the ministry of a priest is to make intercession before God on behalf of the people. And so as our great high priest, Jesus is in heaven right now, bringing you in prayer before God the Father. As we read later in Hebrews, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Saturate your soul in this grace. Jesus is praying for you in the presence of the Father right now. Soak your heart in this mercy. Jesus is interceding for you in the immediate presence of the Father at this very moment. Saturate your soul in this grace. Soak your heart in this mercy. Jesus is in the immediate presence of God, bringing your name, your concerns, your trials, your adversities, your hardships in intercession before the throne of grace. Could any grace be more satisfying? Any mercy more comforting? Therefore, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. I've seen people respond in trials in two opposite ways. Some say, I need Jesus now more than ever. And they draw closer to Jesus. They hold firmly to the faith. And their faith grows and increases in the trial. Others say, how could Jesus let this happen to me? Jesus has let me down, so I'm going to forget about him. I'm going to dump Jesus. And I'm going to take care of this thing my own way. And so they turn away from Jesus. And they depart from the faith. I've seen both. The recipients of the letter to the Hebrews were being tempted to respond to persecution by forsaking the faith. They were being tempted to turn away from Jesus. So the author of Hebrews urges them to make the other response to this trial. Let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. Because we have a great high priest in heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, who intercedes before his Father for us. Which response will you make to your trials? Down which path in the fork of the road will you travel? How will you respond to your adversities? Will you draw closer to Jesus and hold firmly to the faith? Or will you forsake Jesus and depart from the faith? Which response is the better way? Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor in Germany during World War II. He was imprisoned by the Nazis for resisting Hitler, whom Bonhoeffer saw as a threat to Christianity. Bonhoeffer chose Christ over Hitler, knowing that Hitler could kill his body but not his soul. So the order came down to execute Bonhoeffer. That was Dietrich Bonhoeffer's cost of discipleship. The night before his execution, Bonhoeffer preached a sermon to his fellow prisoners from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Bonhoeffer persevered in his faith in the hour of his trial unto death by placing his certain hope in a living Savior. He held firmly to the faith when the test came. Let's do the same. Like the recipients of this letter to the Hebrews, and like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, we will experience trials slung upon us by a culture that is growing increasingly hostile to the Christ of Scripture. Your boss may poke fun at your faith in Christ. You may feel pressure to yield to something that is politically correct but biblically wrong. Your peers at school may ostracize you if you're too vocal and visible in your faith. You may have an unbelieving spouse who opposes your faith, makes your life difficult. How will you respond? Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Amen? Amen. Amen. Don't slacken. Don't draw back. Don't forsake Jesus. Don't contrive your own solution. Persevere. Now, perseverance in the faith demands courageous motivation. From where can we garner the courage, the motivation to hold firmly to the faith that we profess? In the midst of a trial, in the midst of an adversity, in the midst of a hardship, when the easier thing to do would go back to the world. Where do we garner the courageous motivation to hold firmly to the faith in the midst of the trial? Where else? From our great high priest himself. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. In the Old Testament, the Jewish high priest carried the names of the tribes of Israel fastened on his shoulders. Six tribes on one shoulder, six tribes on the other. He carried the names of the tribes of Israel on his shoulders as he entered into the Holy of Holies. And so he carried the burdens of the people on his shoulders as a remembrance before God. As our great high priest, Jesus carries your name on his shoulders. And with your name, your burdens he carries on his shoulders as he intercedes before the throne of God above. What more do we need? What more do we need to hold firmly to the faith in the midst of adversity? Let us cast all our care on him who cares for us. For Jesus enters the presence of the Father with our names on his shoulders. And that's enough. That's enough. That suffices. Jesus is all we need. He represents us perfectly before the Father. Not just adequately, but perfectly he represents us before the Father. For Jesus is both fully God and fully human. As fully God, he is able to represent us before God. And as fully human, he is able to represent us before God. For he's one of us. He is of our kind. And as one of us, he sympathizes with our weaknesses. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, our frailties, our needs, our sufferings, our burdens, our disappointments, our setbacks, our distress, our anguish, our sorrows, our griefs, our pains. He sympathizes with all our weaknesses. Why? He's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. He himself walked through it all. He himself walked through every weakness, every distress, every sorrow, every pain, every anguish, all through his 33 years of earthly sojourn. Although he alone is without sin, he has experienced every testing, every temptation, every trial that we experience. He knows what it's like. Whatever it is you're going through, he knows what it's like because in some form he has experienced it all. So he sympathizes with you in your trials. Do you grieve over a loss? When his friend Lazarus died, Jesus wept. Has someone close to you betrayed you? Jesus was sold out by Judas, one of his disciples. Do you feel overwhelmed? Anybody here ever feel overwhelmed? Do you feel overwhelmed? Jesus was so overwhelmed in Gethsemane that he sweat blood. He sweat blood in such anguish, feeling overwhelmed by the prospect of the cross ahead of him. Do you feel like running from a hard commitment? Have you ever said to yourself, how in the world did I ever get in this? Where's the exit? As he faced the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup be taken from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Yes, Jesus knows the trial you're going through. He knows the adversity that you experience because he's gone through it too. He's experienced it as well. So he sympathizes with your weaknesses. He knows by his own experience the heaviness of your burden. As in heaven, he carries your name on his shoulders into the presence of the Father to make intercession for you. Oh, what a great high priest we have! Amen? Amen. So no matter what the trial, no matter how heavy the burden, no matter how fierce the adversity, let us keep the faith. Let's never give up on Jesus. A second imperative we find in the scripture text for this morning that will help us to persevere in trials. Let us approach the throne. Verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We have a great high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses, for he walked among us as one of us. We have a great high priest who has experienced every testing, Every temptation, every trial that we experience. And since we have such a great high priest, since we have a great high priest like this one, it is with confidence that we can approach the throne of grace, there to deposit our pleas for his help. Now, the phrase throne of grace is the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament seat of mercy or mercy seat. This harkens back to the tabernacle later replaced by the temple, both of which were earthly copies of the heavenly sanctuary of God. And the tabernacle and the temple each had an inner room called the Holy of Holies, in which there was only one piece of furniture. Sparsely furnished, only one piece of furniture in the Holy of Holies. And it was, anybody know? The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was a chest, and it had a lid. And the ark proper contained the Ten Commandments, the law, which every single one of us, including this one, has failed to keep. And on top of the ark was a lid, and the lid was called the atonement cover, or the mercy seat. And so the mercy seat covered the ark, which contained the law. Mercy covers law. Oh, glory to God. Mercy covers law. Praise the Lord for that. The mercy seat covered the ark, which contained the law. Mercy covers law. Now, extending upward from the mercy seat were two gold cherubim facing each other, with their wings spread upward, overshadowing the mercy seat. And the very presence of God dwelt above the mercy seat, right at the mercy seat, between the two cherubim. The presence of God, right there. Think of where the presence of God did not dwell. The presence of God was not dwelling at the level of the ark proper, the chest with the Ten Commandments, the level of law. And praise God for that. Praise God that he does not dwell at the level of law, the ark proper with the Ten Commandments. For if he dwelt there, we would be condemned in his presence for not keeping the law. Praise God instead that he dwells at the level of mercy. Just above the mercy seat, we come into his presence and receive mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the Jewish high priest would enter that innermost room, the Holy of Holies, and sprinkle the blood of sacrificed animals on the mercy seat in order to make atonement for his sin and the sin of the people. And this was a placeholder ritual awaiting the once-for-all atonement for our sins, which our sinless great high priest would make by his blood shed on the cross. And think of it. Imagine in your minds, if we can imagine the things of heaven. Right now, our great high priest is in the heavenly Holy of Holies. And by prayer, We meet with him there before the heavenly mercy seat. By prayer we come to the throne of grace. By prayer we come to the mercy seat. By prayer we come into the presence of God, not at the level of law, but at the level of mercy. And so he receives us by his mercy. We don't meet him at the level of law because we've disobeyed the law. We meet him at the level of mercy, for he dispenses mercy, the throne of grace. So even with all our sins, even with all our failures to keep God's law, even with our breaking of the commandments, we can pray with confidence, for by prayer we meet with the Lord, not at the chest of his law, but at the seat of his mercy, the throne of grace. And that is what the author of Hebrews means when he writes to us. Let us then approach the throne of grace. Let us then approach the seat of mercy, this mercy seat, where the presence of God dwells. Let us approach the throne of grace, the mercy seat, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Oh, what a great High Priest indeed we have. And we can persevere in trials when we approach the throne of grace in prayer. For our great High Priest will give us all the mercy and all the grace that we need to persevere in our trials when we meet with him at his mercy seat. And so how can we persevere in the trials? How can we endure adversity without falling apart? How can we deflate the despair of feeling so overwhelmed that we just want to give up? By keeping the faith and by approaching the throne. For we have a great High Priest who is fully sufficient for us in every circumstance. He's gone through the heavens. He's in the heavenly holy of holies, in the immediate presence of the Father, interceding for us right now. And he's sympathetic to your weakness because he's been through what you're going through. He knows what it's like. He knows the hardship, the trial, the adversity by his own experience. From his infancy to his ascension, he faced the full range of testings, temptations, and trials that we face. He knows what it's like to be homeless and hungry, despised and rejected. He heard the alluring voice of temptation. His friends ran away when trouble came. False accusations were hurled at him. He experienced injustice. Have you ever said, this is unfair? He experienced injustice at his trials. His back was whipped. His hands and feet were pierced. He knows physical pain. And he faced the heat of evil and the chill of death. He himself has experienced all that we deal with in our adversities. He knows. He understands. He sympathizes. He feels our trials with us. So even when we walk through the valley and the shadows stretch into our soul, and we cry out to him with help for help, we can be confident that He will provide mercy precisely form-fitted to our need. Oh yes, He will provide mercy precisely form-fitted to our need. Now that's amazing grace. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give You praise and thanks that You are a perfect and all-sufficient great high priest. Teach us to lean on You in our trials, for we have nowhere to go but You. And teach us, Lord, to run to Your mercy seat, where we find all the mercy and grace we need for our need. May we never give up on You, Lord. May we never question Your love or the goodness of Your purposes. Thank You for being such a great high priest. In Your name.